Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord again, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So if you would, just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer, and we'll get into the word for this evening. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awake in me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me now. I decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow up in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, beloved, this was an interesting time that God has afforded me. I'm seeing things that are necessary for us to do and to get started so that we can grow in the place where God has called us to, where he's planted us. So one of the things that I would like to do is kind of step back here and deal with what just happened, because we were on the air, and the time for the broadcast was a little bit different. It was short. It was only 15 minutes. So then, you know, we're talking about strife, which is the pathway to failure. And so I asked everyone that was on the first call to call back in 15 minutes so that we can, you know, get into the word for today, and that was good. But then after we got off, and I was doing some soul searching, seeking, talking to God, and I asked the question, you know, well, how did this, happen? Why did this happen? And I would submit to you that those should be things that you should do, questions that you should ask. You know, why are you here? We should not try to just blame the devil for this. We should go ahead and say, you know what, I'm going to take responsibility for asking how did this thing happen. When David had things that went wrong and he had a heart that was after God, he would go and ask God, you know, what did we do? And he said there was sin in the camp. And so then I asked God. And, you know, he said then, here's an answer for you. How did this happen? Why did this happen? He said, give no place to the devil. And so, you know, I said, okay. And then I started, you know, going through, well, what place did I give? See, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we've got to recognize that the door that we leave open is the door he's going to come in. Strife is one of those doors that we leave open that he comes in. And so I said, okay, give no place to the devil. So I went to Ephesians, and I saw that. Then I remember that last week, one of the things that we did last week is we went into Ephesians chapter 4. But I stopped at verse 17 in my in the ministry, and I began to just go back to trying to get through to the next thing. because trust me, y'all, we haven't even come close to the study that we need for this, just to get it in there. But God is doing a thing whereby He's letting me know, you know, how I can fix stuff. I can fix it quickly. So I'm going to pick up just because the teaching is so poignant, because this was something that's really not detrimental to my existence, if you would. But see, if I give the devil a place, then I can't really have a clean house if I give him a place, okay? I can't fix what's wrong in a situation because I didn't clean the house, okay? He expects to display whatever he wants to display there because I gave him a place to do it, a time to operate therein, see? So I'm going to start at verse 17, which is what we were talking about, how the body of Christ is supposed to edify itself in love. It's supposed to grow by every joint supplying. It's supposed to be a body that's, go to 16 just so you can kind of go into it. It's supposed to be a body that speaks the truth in love, that it may grow up into Jesus in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I mean, that's a mouthful right there. He says that the whole body is going to be joined together first. There has to be unity first. Then it has to be compacted. The thing that happened today was some questions were asked of me prior to ministry. You know, now you know the questions that you would want to be asked prior to ministry, you know, is questions that would be in the spirit. But what if they're not? What are you going to do? Because you're supposed to grow. First of all, you're supposed to be joined together, okay? The body of Christ should be one. So that if I'm not joined together, then I can forget being compacted by that which every joint supplies. So asking me a question that was not in my spiritual target area, okay, I've got to look at that. Why would that set me off, okay? Why would that take me off of my square? Because I'm supposed to be joined together. And then I have to allow the process of compaction. Do you see that there? Verse 16, it's going to be joined together and it's going to be pushed down. It's going to remove all of the space for my convenience, frustrations, and any other things. Mm. God's the one wanting this. He wrote it, right? It's in your Bible. I didn't come to your house and put that in there. That's in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. We're going to have to speak the truth in love so that we can grow up in him in all things. I didn't say in some things. It didn't say in the things you like. It said that you're going to grow up in him in all things. When the disciples came to Jesus and said they was going to call down fire, Jesus told them they did not know what spirit they were of. And he told them that while he was still loving on them. This is the compaction that has to take place. A place, if you would, let's just go there since you see compaction, that would be something that takes me to a place I might not want to go. I am compacted to go there. I want to ignore you, get away from you, because you're getting on my nerves. But he says, no, the body don't have that as an option. It is compacted by that which every joint supplies. See? So then, we're going to have to do that so that we can get there. See? We're going to have to grow into that. See? So then if that's going to be my heart, oh, goodness gracious, if that's going to be my heart's position, then the body will have the supply that's necessary to cause increase. I mean, I'm hoping that you can get that. It's going to be able to cause the increase that's necessary. See? So if that's what we're doing, then God will be able to use us effectively. See? But if we're not going to be willing to do that, then where is the increase that's going to overflow? Okay, let's look at that. Let's look at that. There it is. If I'm going to function in increase, then I will be able to overflow. People will see. They will know that we are connected to Jesus because love is seen, understood, perceived. See? So we're going to have to get to that place. See? Then it says that the only thing that should be seen, come on, y'all, wow. I get to see this, you know, right now because if I'm going to do it his way, then I'm going to have to make sure that every joint increases. Every joint would include my joint, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. If I can't demand that you increase if I'm not willing to increase. If I'm not willing to give you love, then I cannot expect you to function in faith. Oh, my God. If I'm not willing to give you love, then I'm not going to be able to function in faith. Faith works by love. See? I mean, these are just things that we quote the scriptures, but are we wanting to live the scriptures? See? We've got to be willing to live the scriptures. Otherwise, it will not make an increase, and there will not be an overflow or abundance to come against whatever you think is coming against you, body of Christ-wise. Because this is not a bless me and my foe and no more. This is a cause the body to be seen, cause people to become thirsty because we are the salt of the earth. So then when we see, come on, y'all, when we see things not going well in the earth, then the body of Christ is supposed to overflow with the salt that's necessary to cause them to be thirsty. But I don't know, when you think about some of the things that we do, we don't walk in that, therefore they don't have thirst for righteousness. See? And because we didn't create that by the compacting that God wants to have happen in the earth, see? So there's a lot of things that we have to really grow up and participate in the plan of God. Because if we don't do that, then the increase that's necessary for the body to respond. See? We're supposed to have one voice. Isn't that what it says? Glory to God. We're supposed to have one voice. So then how is it that we are still, after reading scriptures over and over again, we're still having multiple voices or division? He wants us to have one vision. We started with this. It's so many things in Ephesians because it's the one at the beginning of this chapter tells us that we are supposed to stay in the position of endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body, one spirit, even as you're called, even in the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. See, we're not having that one voice. Why? Because we didn't allow the love that's necessary to be seen so that the increase God is wanting by every joint supplying. So, again, how do we think that it's going to be good for us to separate the body if God can only use the body that is knit together and compacted? I mean, I don't know what scripture we're thinking about, but it's not Ephesians. It's not the Holy Scripture. It's not the Holy Writ. It's something that we think is convenient, and so we're going to go after that. And so then, because I had a thought in my mind that says, okay, when I'm getting ready to minister, you should be asking me, you know, stuff that's heavenly. Don't you ask me about something that's natural or like that. And so then I got a little perturbed by that. But see, when I did that, I just gave the devil a place. And in my life, God has done things for me, and I appreciate him doing this for me. Quickly, let it be seen. I don't need particularly my dirt to be hid under a rug. No, that's not good. See, because he said, don't give the devil any place. See? So then, notice some of the things, the way it's written here. He said, don't give the place to the devil. So if I give the place to the devil, that would state that I have just released that place. It's no longer mine, is it? Don't you remember Jesus told them, whatever you bind is bound, whatever you loose is loose? He told them, this is the prayer. I want you to understand, this is the prayer. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So then if it's not done, just so that we can get it, if it's not done in me, that would be in earth, wouldn't it? If it's not done in me, then God cannot release it that way from heaven. He wants us to grow, knit, compacted. So that just me, I don't see how my thought process of someone getting on my nerves is equal to being compacted. Because when they get on my nerves, just so that we go through life the same way, when someone gets on your nerve, generally you want to dismiss yourself from their presence. That's not compacted, fitly joined together. I know God is a big God, but he's asking us to be one. So that when we speak, when we move, our actions then make a difference. You remember in Genesis chapter 11, I think it's verse 1 and 2, it said this, God came down and saw them building the Tower of Babel. And he said, the people is one. Therefore, nothing that they imagine to do can be restrained from them. So we want to see change in the earth. We want to see the grace of God attractive to people so that they can impact their lives and change their lives. But right now, the people is not one. It's not the bodies of Christ. That's not the scripture that I read. He just said one, one, one. See? So then, as we hear that, now we have the responsibility to walk that out, and we walk that out day by day. We don't walk that out once a week when we gather together for prayer. We don't walk that out when we gather together to hear the word. No. We walk that out day by day. Okay? He said, if you continue in my word, then you become intimate. You will know the truth, and then the truth that you are intimate with will cause liberty. It will affect change in the earth. Okay? Because we've been given the authority to do what God said do in the earth, and the whole earth is groaning and travailing, waiting for one thing, the manifestation of the sons of God. Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. He said it's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's not waiting on the report that the sons of God are coming. It's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And when that happens, the other part of that says that then the earth will yield her increase. Glory to God. We are the trigger, beloved. You want to see change, then affect the change by staying in the place the body is being compacted together. You know, I know we don't hear this much. We'll go and say, okay, good. They don't believe like I believe. Well, do they see any signs that your belief is accurate? Not a feel-good thing. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16 that the Lord worked with the people that he gave instructions to, and he confirmed his word with signs following. See? It was not just according to that scripture, as we see that in Mark 16:20. It says that there were signs following the word. It's a different place. We shouldn't be following the we should not be following the signs. We should be releasing the words, and the signs follow the word. Amen. But there are a bunch of Christians that are living looking for signs. Did not Jesus say a wicked and adulterous generation looks for signs? A jointly fit together, compacted body would produce signs, the Lord working with them. The joints that are supplying, come on, y'all, the joints that are supplying give avenue, ways that God can get in and do what God wants to do, get in and do what only God can do. It was, come on, it was to the point where it was working so smoothly that Peter didn't pray for people. He just walked down the street, and the shadow came across people's lives, bodies, and they were healed. Were some of them healed? No. And all of them were healed. If that was the display that he was able to do then, he wants to do it now. But every joint can't supply that because we are not compacted together in love. I mean, their love was so real, you can see that they didn't have anything that was theirs. They gave everything to God. When they didn't do that, you remember Ananias and Sapphira? Yeah, that changed everybody's thinking. People was, well, they didn't want to mess with God back then. They said, no. If you're going to tell God you're going to do something, do it, or it might be detrimental to you and your family. Because when they came back from burying the husband, they came to the wife, and she dropped dead then. Why? Because God was trying to get people to walk in the unity of this. He just started it. He did not need division working through the church. He's looking for unity to work through the church. And he told them, he said, when it was in the power of your hand to do whatever you wanted to do, but you said you did this and you didn't. That's causing division of thought, division of heart, division of actions, division of words. And God said, now let's stop this. Let's make them understand we real, we serious about this. That's a Jesus prayer. Come on now, y'all. We done got to high prayers. That's a Jesus prayer. John chapter 17, Father, I pray that they would be one, even as you and I are one. They in you and you in, come on now. Them in me and you in them, one. There should be no visible means of seeing one person in the body different from another because the body is one. Well, what about the ones that don't believe? Give them an opportunity to see that it works in your life. Because does not love cover a multitude of sin? You who are spiritual, if you see a brother in a fault, you're supposed to restore such an one. It did not tell us anytime, anywhere to talk about such an one. But what have we been doing? They don't do like they don't. That's talking about. First of all, he said, if you're going to do it, he said, restore them in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. Because if you don't consider yourself, that same thing that you're talking about in them, it's going to visit your house. Don't forget, God is the one that told us that the sins of the fathers were visited to the second and third generation. say. You gave the devil a place. The strife. This is the pathway for our failure right here. And it's personal. Okay. Strife is not going to stay just with you. It's not designed that way. Strife is designed to be spread. When you are mad at someone, do you generally keep it to yourself? I would submit the answer is no. You want everybody to know how they treated you, what they did to you, how wrong they were. And there we go. Strife. Now you poison someone else that was not even there to experience whatever you might be upset about. And then now they go and tell somebody else because that's the nature of strife. It says in Proverbs, I think it's 17:14. It says, the beginning of strife is as one that lets out water. Therefore, because it's like that, because it's going to flow everywhere, he says, therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. He said, listen at the wording. He said, do this before it be meddled with. Before you decide that you're going to plant strife, unforgiveness, and sin in somebody else's life because of the offense that you have, he said, do yourself a favor. Leave it off before it be meddled with. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3 said, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. He said, that's an honor. But every fool will be meddling. So, I mean, I didn't put that in your Bible. If you're going to function in strife, start sowing strife. He just said, you are a fool. Leave it alone. That's not how the body is going to be fitly joined together and compacted. You are dismantling the power necessary for the earth to work the way God said it's supposed to. See, we're supposed to be the agents of God that release healing, that afford people the opportunity to change. But because we enter into judgment, because we practice strife, we throw it. Okay, again, I'm just saying some of these things we should get. It says an honor to leave strife alone, to cease it. He said that's an honor. So then if you don't want to leave strife alone, then according to this scripture, you would rather function in dishonor. And if you're going to function in dishonor, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. So you're sowing dishonor, which is going to cause disunity. And since God said, I commanded blessing on the place of unity, then you cannot get the unity that's necessary for the change that you say you believe in God for. I sure wish this world would. It can't do it because we are supposed to be, have been defined as the pillar and ground of the truth. So then they have no truth. So that if they don't have truth, they cannot have liberty. Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth's responsibility is to cause freedom. But we're not living in truth, showing in truth, offering in truth. So then don't be deceived. Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. I thought you said you love your children. Well, I don't know how you can define that love for your children when you keep sowing strife, because they're going to have to live in the strife that you just sowed. What other world can they live in? We are the pillar and ground of the truth. And if the gospel be hid, what's going to happen to the ones that can't see? The God of this world goes to dealing with them. That's what it says. Come on, y'all. He blinds their eyes. Let's read it. You're going to see it here too. Same place. Verse 17. So this is why I'm saying this. The word therefore tells you that the reason that it was necessary to say this was because of what you just heard. This I say, therefore, because of what you just heard. And I am testifying in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as others Gentiles walk. And how do they walk, Paul? In the vanity of their mind. Wow. They don't walk by the word. They think it's okay to disjoint ourselves from the body of Christ, because they don't do blah, blah, blah. So then they're saying in the vanity of their mind, that's okay. So then why did you bother to go to Ephesians chapter 4 when he asked you, begged you, pleaded with you to stay in the place of unity? But you're going to say, no, no, my mind tells me what I should be doing. The word does not tell me what I should be doing. I never heard the word tell me that. That's because of what he's going to say right here. Look at this. Look at this. In the vanity of their minds. And as they walk in that vanity of the mind, they have their understanding darkened. So then they're not walking in the light, are they? They're looking for. Jesus is the one who said that. He said, I'm come that I gave them the light, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Didn't say they're caught in darkness. It said they love it. That becomes the path that they're looking for. Having their understanding darkened, that would be bad enough. But then you got to look at the next step. It says, and because of this dark understanding, they're going to be alienated from the life of God. Remember, unity is where God commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. But we don't want that. We want to walk around as other Gentiles in the vanity of our minds, having understanding that is darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Please, please, how are God's people destroyed? Ignorance, lack of knowledge. See, these are things that in my mind, I don't understand how we can say that it's going to be okay. How can it be okay if destruction comes right after lack of knowledge? And here I am saying it's okay to have my understanding darkened, to be alienated from the life of God, to function in ignorance. See, God used to allow us to walk around in this ignorance, but now he has commanded all men everywhere to repent. See? It's not a suggestion anymore. It's not, I hope you would. It's a command now. Excuse me, to all men. He used to allow us to walk around in this ignorance. But now he said, no, 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 no. That time is over. That dispensation is over. There's a requirement on your life because we've got to wrap this thing up. Because he's still coming from the same premise that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all that dwelleth therein. He's still coming from that premise. See? But we are the ones that are supposed to go out into the highways, and compel people. Wow, Lord. He didn't say command people. He did say compel them, didn't he? Huh. And a lot of times we've been going around trying to command people. He said compel them. The way you would compel people is they see it work in your life. They see the path that you walked down and the benefit that that has brought into your life. Not just the reward, but the inheritance. Thank you, sir. Because there are a lot of people that are living in the reward, but they have no inheritance. And if you're going to be a good man leaves an inheritance. He didn't leave a reward. He left an inheritance for his children and for his children's children. And we think that just because I've been blessed, that's just a reward, people. What about the inheritance? I mean, there is a difference. That maturation process is what God is looking for. That you don't just come for it and God just bless me so I can get out of this. No, 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 no. I already got my reward. That's done. Thank you. You daily load me with benefits. I got my reward. I need to be working on the inheritance, preparing that so that my children will be in a place that is easier to believe. It's easier to love. It's easier to live. Because you do know that money grows wings. And even if the fool can get money, it says the fool and his money, they're going to separate. What fool? The fool that still deals with strife, meddles with it. Just go say, well, it's okay. Even though God says things to us like, come out from among them, be ye separate, touch not, meddle not, handle not. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated, that's some right now stuff, ain't it? That wasn't having been alienated. That might be okay. You might can recover that. This says being a continual process. God came to you and asked you, will you follow me? And you said, yeah, but you didn't go because you were still being alienated. So if you're living in the place where you are being alienated, that means that the things that you need cannot come to you because you're still in the process of being alienated. I said it earlier today. If someone told you that they needed you to go to Orlando and you say, okay, I'll go, and then you run out 20 going west, it's not going to from Atlanta. It's not going to work out too good for you going west to try to get to a place that's in the south. So you're being in the wrong place. You're living and trying to get your existence to be where you're not supposed to be. If they told you to go to Orlando, then all of your sustenance is going to be in Orlando. So you're going to drive all the way from Atlanta to Augusta, frustrated, mad, angry, bitter. Why? Because I can't get nothing to work out. Because you were never supposed to be in Augusta. You were supposed to be in Orlando. That was the instructions. But you're being the one that's going to Augusta. See? We've got to just say, okay, God, this is what you said. No, I don't like it sometimes. I don't understand it sometimes. But that didn't change it. You still said it. See? So then since you said it and since I heard it. See, because his saying it is not the issue here. He says, if you hear his voice today, if you would, if you would hear his voice, harden not your heart the way that they did it in the day of the provocation. And because you did that, then God said, okay, good. I'm going to allow you to go to the place of your hard position. He gave them over to reprobate minds, things that was not working for their good. I mean, he is perfect in all his ways. He sent the word to heal us and to deliver us, but we keep thinking that some kind of way, no, that's not the word I'm supposed to have. I don't like the way that, no. See, you are functioning from understanding that is dark, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in you because of the blindness of your heart. See, okay, did you see that? He didn't even try to, wow, look at this, wow. The Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And then because of that, their heart now becomes blind. So they can't even see a way out. Because the way out that God is going to reveal to you is going to come to your heart. And your heart now is blind. I don't think it take all that. I don't think that's necessary. Sounds like to me that's a blind heart. You do know what happens to blind people, don't you? Ditch time. And so that means now the devil. So the devil that's been trying to cause you to be captured just put you in the ditch, didn't he? Strife sets this up. And if that wasn't bad enough, these people that are operating in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding, as having is still perfect present tense, isn't it? Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's already, it didn't say the ignorance that visited, it didn't say the ignorance that visited them, it said the ignorance that resides on the inside of them. Covenant kind of stuff. Because I gave the devil a place. It's been said, you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. Because you gave him a place. I mean, you might as well just put out the welcome mat and tell him whenever you want to come in, it's okay. We're going to get to that scripture if I can a little bit later. Because of the blindness of their heart. That's a place we don't want to be, people. You don't want to be where your heart is blind. That you're looking for God and can't find him. Because you've already made up in your mind, if he don't come this way, it ain't God. I mean, you can see how the divisions came because we said, this is the way it's got to go. Excuse me, you're talking about God. Who has instructed him? So why are you trying to step up to stuff that your puny brain can't do? Oh, he will activate the mind of Christ that's in you when you come to him and submit. See, because we have the mind of Christ, not to instruct, but to understand direction, purpose, and how to execute. To understand that I really am not my own. I'm bought with the price. See, the mind of Christ is going to always agree with the word of God. So if the mind of Christ is activated in you, then automatically you would agree with God. But because the mind of Christ is not active, because your mind is still active, you become an enemy of God. And that's individual. That's not a corporate thing. That's individual. You then wrestle with God. And not only do you wrestle with God, you're going to wrestle till you win. How stupid is that? If God's there, let him win. Why? Because he knows what's best. But he will give you over to do your own thing. Why? Because his love never fails, and he'll continue to extend it towards you and extend it towards you. And whenever you respond to his love, then he'll do exactly what he did for Peter, who was walking on the water. Peter was walking on the water. And then looking around at circumstances, it says he began to sink. But the love of God was still reaching, and it says he picked him up. And then they walked all together on the shore, back to the boat, on the water. Why? Because God wants to show you, yeah, you can do this. I'm here to equip you. I'm going to strengthen you. And when I strengthen you, as I strengthen you, you will be able to do A-L-L, all things. But see, if I give the devil a place, then that's going to happen. I'm going to go and do what Peter started doing. He began to look at other things that really were insignificant. Especially for him, he was already walking on the water. It would have been different if it said, and Peter tried to walk on the water. And in his trying, he looked at the wind, and he found out he could never do it. No. Peter was already walking on the water. Excuse me. He was walking on the word because he asked Jesus, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. He didn't say float. He said, come. So the water now really was irrelevant. He walked on the word. We're told to stand on the word. The word will hold you. It will support you no matter what is around you. To the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, goodness gracious, life. I mean, when we walk in our feelings, that'd probably be bad enough, wouldn't it? But these people done got to the point, they are past their feelings. it ain't no more like, I think so, I want it to be. This is the way it's got. You are now past your feelings, aren't you? See? Your feelings are now the authority, aren't they? Your mind is now the authority, isn't it? You're past the point where you're doing a little touchy-touchy. You got a hold to this thing now, don't you? It's now possessionary. If you're trying it, that's a feel thing. But once you put it in your pocket, that's no longer a feel thing, is it? That belongs to you now. That's the transfer from giving the devil a place. Who being past feelings are giving themselves over to lasciviousness, no restraint. They now do this thing without thinking. It's now on automatic because their heart is blind. And they are now so seared that they don't even feel convicted by it anymore. They are past feelings. It's got to be right. It's going to be this way. See, this is what God just showed me and gave me an understanding of. Okay, so you did that. You were upset because of this little whatever it was. He says, well, let me show you what the next steps are. Because the Holy Ghost's job, and I ask him, I've given him permission in my life to do that. One of the job descriptions, if you would, that the Holy Ghost has is to show me what's coming. Show me things to come. When he has come, he will show you. He will lead you in all truth, teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, and show you things to come. That's the job description, and give you power. I like that. Lord, I haven't looked at it from that perspective. Once he shows me the things to come, he gives me the power to overcome them or the power to bring them to pass in my life because they're from him. Once he shows me what's to come, that's on both sides. He'll show you what he will dismantle all of the plans and attack of the devil. Don't you remember we talked about, that was not this one, yeah, 2 Chronicles 20? He told them specifically, they are waiting for you over here. Tomorrow you're going to do this. Specifically told them that, showing them things to come, and then giving them the strength to execute. See? But now, because I'm past feeling, I've given myself over to, I have surrendered. If you're going to surrender, beloved, please surrender to God. But here, because you were functioning in the vanity of your mind like other Gentiles, because you have your understanding darkened, you've been alienated from breath, life. You know what's interesting, y'all? Life is connected to the breath of God, the ruach of God. And it's funny that we don't even like people with bad breath coming around us, and now we're going to hang around people that's dead. Come on. Our thoughts are dead. We are, come on, this is what he just said. We have been alienated from the life of God. So if I'm alienated from the life of God, the only thing that's left is death. Is that correct? I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose. If you choose blessing and life, good, we can make it. Your seed and your seed after you, they're going to be all right. But if you choose death and cursing, you're going to walk as a Gentile. So I don't know how we continue to function if we don't like people with bad breath, and then we're going to have people that got dead breath. There is no life in it. The devil is the father of lies, and all lies are death. See? Because he came to kill, steal, destroy. All lies are death. They are connected 100% to death. And here we are, alienating ourselves from the life of God, which means the only thing we can do then is have lies presented to us, and we will have our minds walking around saying, this must be right. But that's not, again, look at the steps here. They're there from verse 18 to verse 19. I mean, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. At which point do you think we're supposed to wake up? We're already past feelings. We're given over to lasciviousness, and then we're going to work all, not some. He said you work all uncleanness. Whew. I see, he didn't just leave that. That's not a sexual thing there. He said you work all of it. Unforgiveness, uncleanness. You work it. Again, come on, man. You don't play with it. He didn't say this was something you use as a hobby. He said you work it. Isn't that what he said? Jesus said, you know, the problem here, I got people that try to do what they want to do. He said, no, you come into heaven, think you're going to make it. No, depart from me. Why we got to go, Jesus? Because you worked iniquity. You thought about it. You meditated on it. You saw how you could execute it, and you did it. You worked the thing. It's way past, I think it, no, you worked it. This is not accidental. This is on purpose. You work it. You process it over and over and over again. You come up with ways to say, if this happens, I'll do this. You work it. And you work all uncleanness with greediness. I mean, this is a change of appetite. Did you just get that? You work the uncleanness with greediness. Greediness comes out of appetite, doesn't it? You'd rather have this. Give me seconds, thirds, and fifths.
Make me, wow, make me overweight with this. Because an overweight person does not move easily. An overweight person has become lazy. And she says, you work it with greediness. Whew. Wow. I hope that you're getting this. This is not where he wants us, but this is where a lot of us live, and we think it's okay because we walk around in the vanity of the mind as other Gentiles walk, those who don't have a covenant relation with God. They just go visiting every once in a while. You know, the CMEs, Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day, you know. The people that won't go to church, but they'll go to work. Well, we got a pandemic. Well, you still went to work. You found a way to do that. See, you worked that. But when he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, I don't get it. You throwing away your protection for convenience. You're throwing away your protection for comfort. I don't get that. He that endures to the end, that's the one that's going to be saved. But we've come up with, in our mind, in the vanity of our mind, we say, well, this is going to be okay. How? When you're supposed to be the one that is joined together by that which every joint supplies to me. That doesn't sound like a mail-in opportunity. The anointing is has the connotation of rubbing. So then what rubbing didn't say it was inferred rubbing. It was actual rubbing. Actual transfer by contact. And you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That is a release of the anointing. Lay hands. I mean, I'm just, you know, we should stop taking away the things that God has put in position to bless us because of convenience or comfort. I get it. God is the one that has already proved that he can maintain the life of the people that he came to and said, I am the great I am. He was able to maintain them in the middle of 10 plagues, not one, 10. Amen. Because again, you could be the one that's in Psalms 91 protected. Only with my eyes shall I see the reward of the wicked. 10,000 might fall in my hand, 1,000 in my right hand, 10,000 in my left, but it will not come down my... You are Psalms 91 protected. With long life, he will satisfy you. I'm not telling you what to do. I am presenting the word of God that is able to give you an inheritance. See, I'm not telling you what to do. That's one of the things we've done is a disservice to God. People can't do better because they don't know better. And we judge the heck out of them because they did the wrong thing. Go and tell them. Give them good news. Take the gospel to them. See? I know when I mess up, I already knew I messed up. I really didn't need your help to tell me I messed up. What I need your help to do is to tell me how to get out of it. Show me how to repent. Show me how to accept the goodness of the Lord, because that leads me to repentance. See? He says, but you have not so learned Christ. Jesus ain't taught you none of that, walking in the vanity of man. Jesus didn't teach you that.
being alienated from the life of God. Why do you think he came? If he wanted you to be alienated from the life of God, he wouldn't have came. He does not want you to be ignorant. That's what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be able to participate in the plan of God, in the purpose of God, in the victory of God. I want you to utilize the faith because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So I want you to learn how to be sharp with that. Because the sword of the Spirit is sharp. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. See, so he's giving us the ability to affect change because we come to him and say, you know what, God? You're right. I'm not going to let strife stop your processes. You called me to this. In this time, you knew all of the stuff that was going to be here, and yet you placed me here. I'm trying to get down to verse 27 because this is what he showed me. And it was just a little simple thing. See, he told me, put away strife. Let it alone before it be meddled with. See? Watch. If so be you've heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you do something, that you put off the former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. See, God is again ordering our steps right there. Some of those things, he might have found us there, but he doesn't leave us in our sin. He gives us instruction. He gives us instruction along with inspiration and information. Okay? Information without inspiration causes desperation, perspiration, and frustration. But if you have information plus inspiration, you will end in your destination. Okay? So God is wanting us to walk. He said, so this is what you do. Put off your old life. Put up with things, okay? Put away lying. And that lying is not just to each other. It's also to yourself. Because remember, you're the one that is now past feeling. Sounds like there was some lying going on. You said this is going to be okay, even though God said don't do it. Put away lying. And then speak. Okay. You see that? He said two things. Put away lying, then speak. Okay? So stop the lies on the inside so that the words can have truth to them. Okay. Don't invite people into your lies. All right, let's try it that way. If you still practicing the lie and you tell people whatever this is that you think is right, you are inviting people into your lie. Amen. Okay? So he says, no, put the lying away. Stop talking to the devil. He's the father of lies. All right, let's try it again. He's the father of lies. And if a father is going to have an offspring, then he has to have someone to receive the seed. Is that correct? That's the way fathering happens. He has the seed, and he gives the seed to the one that receives the seed, and there is an offspring. So if the devil is the father of lies, the question has to be answered, where is he putting the seed? Amen. So stop talking to the devil. You can stop receiving the seed, and then the lies that he's trying to give you will not be able to give birth. They won't come to fruition. So he says, first, put away the lying.
After you do that, now speak. There is procession here. There was a comment in your Bible, wasn't it? He said, put away lying. One thing that you got to do. Then you can speak truth. Okay? Then he says, be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Because if you do this, what you are doing is you are giving the devil a place. Okay, you remember how people used to tell us that we wanted to make decisions, they would tell us to go and sleep on it? Mm-hmm. Well, if you go to sleep on it, you just gave the devil a place. You have said, you are comfortable in my rest now. I'm not going to fight you. I am making you, inviting you into the comfort of my rest. God says, do not go to sleep wrong. Amen. Because you don't need the devil comfortable in your rest. If you make him comfortable in your rest, he's going to take the rest of your life. Amen. If you go to sleep on him, he's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to take the rest of your life. You went to sleep on that thing. You didn't resolve it with God. See, that's what happened. When I heard these words, then I said, okay, this. Then I said, okay, God, this is wrong. I see something. Something's wrong. I'm not supposed to be subjected to not being on the air at the time. No, that's not right. That's not my life. You said you will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. So it's a good thing to be able to share with people the things that's going to impact their lives for the better. And I can't do that. So wait a minute. Something's wrong here. So I went to investigating. And he just said, don't give the devil a place. So that I understood. Then when he says, don't give the devil a place, that means I've done that. You see, I don't argue with him. I was like, no, they was wrong, and they should, please, don't give him a place. He says in verse 28, if you used to do something, don't do it anymore. Let him that stole steal no more. But let him rather labor, working with his hands the thing it is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Wait a minute. See, you got to get to play. God is saying, what I need you to do, when somebody does you wrong, I need for you to be in control of the situation. It's not called the book of reacts. It's called the book of acts. We need to initiate. So he says, what I need for you to do is I need for you to get a seed in your heart, a seed in your mouth. Labor with your hands. Labor. Don't work the sin. Work righteousness. If I'm upset, angry, the Bible says that the wrath of man does not employ the righteousness of God. So I can't work the righteousness of God if I'm going to work my anger, if I'm going to work my frustration. He says, what I need for you to do now is to work righteousness. I need a seed in your hand. I need a seed in your mouth. I need a seed in your heart. Why? So that you can have to give to him that needs. When someone offends you, they need your forgiveness. Do you have that seed in your heart? Do you have that seed in your hand? Do you have that seed in your mouth? Or are you going to say, they did this, so then they are cut off from me. I'm not going to allow that joint to be compacted with my joint. There will be no increase of the body of itself in love. So the thing that you used to do, don't do that. And when you do what you used to do, you are operating as a Gentile. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, don't do that. Don't walk as other Gentiles walk. Tit for tat, this for that. Don't do that.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Because when the corrupt communication proceeds out of your mouth, it lets you know what was in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the lips go to moving. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. In other words, you ain't dealt with it. You haven't worked righteousness. So then, because if you work righteousness, then forgiveness flows. When you work righteousness, love flows. When you work righteousness, peace flows. But when you don't work righteousness, the sin that's in you, the ignorance that's in you, the death that being alienated from the life of God produces in you, it proceeds out of your mouth. You know, I saw this scripture the other day. I was so glad about it. It says that the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. I was so glad to see that because God doesn't want it to hide. He says if there's works of the flesh, you're going to see them. Now, will you identify them and deal with them? Or are you going to say, well, you know, that's just the way I am. That's the way God made me. No, he not. He said, come on, you just read it. You just read it. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's not the way God created you. Amen. He's restoring all things. He who is spiritual, would that not be God being spiritual? Well, God who is spiritual, he's going to restore such an one. So he's giving you the inspiration and information so that restoration can take place. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But in other words, don't do this, do this. But that which is good to the use of edifying. Why? Because every joint that is compacted together is going to supply. We're the ones that are supposed to add value to any situation that we're in. You might want to write that down. That's good. We are the ones that should add value to any situation that we are in. When Joseph went into the Potiphar's house, he added value. And because he added value, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. Because he added value, then he received value. He was second in command. He was the one who was walking around, and everybody would have to bow the knee before him because he added value to Potiphar, and God added value to his life. So much so that even when the devil tried to, come on, y'all, let's look at this value. Woo! So much so that when the devil tried to mess it up, his words came out like this in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Though you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Because he was adding value. That's what our job is. So then if your conversation is not adding value to the spirit, shut your doggone mouth. If you just got to give them, here we go. If you got to give them a piece of your mind, you're not adding value. Amen. See, our job is to add value to the life of others. Oh, well, they're going to use me. Okay, well, if you're adding value, God says you will not be the one that's going to be deceived in what you sowed. You will reap. If you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I love the word everlasting. I love the word eternity. Everlasting has to include my now, doesn't it? Otherwise, it cannot be everlasting. Eternity must take care of my now, or it's not eternity. This is not pie in the sky. If I sow, I reap. See, we've got to begin to think from the perspective that Jesus was speaking from, not necessarily the perspective that we've been taught. Go to the Word. Because when you go to the Word will bring truth that will cause you to be established
See? You won't have to worry about, well, what's next? It's guaranteed. Every word of God, every promise of God is yes and amen. All of the promises. He's not trying to trick you. He's trying to equip you. That which is good to the use of edifying. Did you get that? If the words that come out of my mouth are words of faith, words of hope, he says those words will be used. Read it again. Let's see what it says. But that which is good to the use of edifying. Oh, they might not say it today. They might not use it tomorrow. But they will use it. How do you know that? Because God made me a promise. He said, my word will not return to me void, but it will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. It will accomplish that which I please. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. As he not said it, shall he not make it good? As he not spoken it, shall he not bring it to pass? See, so I just agree with him. Say what he said. I plant it in the place where, thank you, sir. I plant the word in the place where it's needed because it's going to be used for edification. Come on, y'all. I plant the word in the place that is needed. Well, what about sowing your seed, casting your pearls before swine? I got that. But the word does not come back void. It doesn't matter. Because God, listen at this, God spoke into darkness. He commanded things to happen in the darkness. Yeah. And he said, light come out of the darkness. How could the light come out of the darkness if nobody put the light in the darkness? How do you expect light to come out if there was no light put in? So you put the word in where it's needed. I'm not trying to get a return on it. I just leave that to God. But I put it where it was needed. I speak truth in love. My lifestyle is when I start casting pearls before swine. I should have long time said what thus saith the Lord, and I'm gone. I ain't got to go try to say, well, now I'm trying to get them converted. And you just playing with fire. Because when they need it, they will use it to the use of the edifying, that it might minister grace. So the one that's being stupid and doing the wrong thing, do you not think they need grace? Yeah, they do. And when they get to the end of themselves, they will call upon that grace. It will minister grace to the hearers. See, this is telling us our job, our responsibility. Their response to me is not even important to me. I believe that God is going to do what he said. I don't have to necessarily see it. Boy, that was in my early days of this. Oh, man, you bring me somebody that wasn't saved. When I got through, I wanted to see him saved, baptized with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. And, I mean, I had point scripture and everything. Yes, please. Come on, y'all. See, I didn't recognize that that was doubt and unbelief. I said it. I'm going. When Jesus said what he said, he left, and we were not any better acting than we were when he was speaking it. The people that he was speaking it to left. They went back to their old ways. Peter was out there drunk again, fishing. Naked in the water. After he had seen the man that Jesus touched his life, and the man was clothed in his right mind, and Peter gave up on everything that he knew. He was out there naked, crazy. And Jesus just said, Peter, do you love me? Well, you know I love you, Jesus. No, Peter, you ain't answered the question yet. You're just saying that because that's what you think you're supposed to say. Peter, do you love me? Jesus, come on now. Yeah. Peter, spirit to spirit, not actions out of your flesh, not emotions out of your flesh.
Peter, spirit to spirit, do you love me? Feed my lambs. You see, you followed me, but you're going to get turned upside down. People are going to carry you in a way that you didn't want to go. But when you converted, Peter, strengthen the brother. Go ahead and write that book that you got in you, Peter. In fact, write two of them. Strengthen the brother. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. The word of God speaks spirit to spirit. He doesn't talk to flesh, try to get us to change in our flesh. He speaks to, wow, sir, he speaks to our spirit so we can crucify the flesh. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? He's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for revealing yourself to us, causing us to be interested in what you're interested in so that we can affect change that you want to see in the earth. Thank you, Father. We choose to submit to you so that you would be able to equip us for heavenly things. Strengthen us, Father, in the place that we stand so that you can receive glory and honor from our lives. We thank you for that, sir, right now. Committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed, the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, again, I'll ask you if there's any questions or comments. What did you learn? What did you like? How can we apply it?
Yes, so sir. Yes, code. Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
Pastor Steve, go ahead. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. How you doing, Pastor?
Steve, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor.
I've been listening to you.
I'm sorry.
I'm going in and out. I'm coming under attack.
Okay, go ahead.
Muted, unmuted. Now I'm back on.
Okay.
Pastor, all right. I've been listening to you for 24 years. I'm going to say this here. And I'm not saying this because I know you. I'm being honest from one man minister to another minister. Every time I listen to you, Pastor, you sound just like Wayne, man. You sound like my pastor. I'm really getting because I love Pastor Wayne. And Steve, you got his anointing. I said, Lord, Steve got his anointing. Pastor Darrell got his anointing. Lord, I got a teaching anointing, but it ain't for my pastor. And the Lord told me that's not true. And the Holy Spirit revealed something to me.
Amen.
Friday in Richmond Seminar, he was a teacher.
Yeah.
And Steve, you sound just like Pastor Wayne. I'm sorry, man. I really enjoy your sermon. It sounds like Pastor Wayne, and I'm not trying to make you.
I'm just being honest.
You know what? I told Pastor Wayne that, and he said, "Yeah, he'd been under me. His anointing came from me to him.
Yeah.
He recognized that."
Yeah.
Do you recognize that?
Oh yeah, I can't help it. I really can't help it. It's all true.
You sound like Pastor Wayne, man. Yeah, you sound just like. But you know what, brother? I love it. I don't sound like that, Pastor. I said, Lord, I want to sound like that. Lord told me, no, you stick to deliverance. And
do you?
Let's eat.
Do you? Do you? Just do you?
Just do me, yeah.
Amen.
Let me make an announcement for everybody, Pastor. We're under attack. Live Deliverance Internet YouTube is under tremendous attack. We have permission from Derek Prince Ministries out of the United States, from Dr. Douglas Russ, the CEO, operation manager of all Derek Prince Ministries. I've been associated with Derek Prince Ministries 15 years ago, strictly by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the YouTube organization out of New Zealand, the Derek Prince Ministries out of New Zealand, did not know that I had that right. They have taken down my internet radio station for copyright violations. So we have contacted the Derek Prince Ministries out of New Zealand, and they're working together. As a matter of fact, the operation manager in New Zealand knows Sister Ruthie Rami, who happens to be on my staff because he's a Sabbath keeper. I'm a Sabbath keeper. He's into Derek Prince. He's right. into demons. And he said, brother, I'm going to do everything I can to retract that. So we're finding out that YouTube don't want people teaching the word like this.
No, not at all. Not at this point.
Steve, if you talk like this on YouTube, if I put you on YouTube, they have so many copyright infringements on you.
Yeah, I can read that.
Yeah, so we're under that attack, and they're about to resume us back. But what I'm going to do is continue to bring the members back to Blog Talk. But Pastor Steve, someone else want to speak to you.
Okay.
All right, Brother John, you got the mic.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm always blessed.
Yeah,
I'm still working on me.
He's not kidding when he says we listen to that our pastor, you know. But I enjoyed it, man, especially that you don't have to sit there and read no stuff, man. You just speak from the spirit, from the heart. That's what I like, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's really cool, man. I appreciate you. God bless you, buddy.
Thank you, sir. And may it boomerang back to
you. You got a different, you know, ever since I've been knowing you, your anointing has always fascinated me. Always. I've always admired your anointing. How can he take them words and flip them and use it? And the Lord told me because that's what I have given him. I didn't get that to you.
Yeah.
Teach deliverance.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's all.
I stay in my lane.
Stay in your lane. It'll be good that way.
I just stay in my lane. But when you teach, Brother Steve, you sound like Pastor Wayne. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
You sound like Pastor Wayne Thompson, man. And I love Pastor Wayne Thompson. I love him because he gave me $1,000 a month, every month, to support my ministry when I got started on my internet radio.
Right.
I want any Fellowship of Faith members in that can listen to me. Do you know how I have my first love with Jamaica? Steve, where'd that come from?
You got 60 seconds left in the broadcast.
No, I put something extra on.
Okay.
I got my love from the country of Jamaica because of Pastor Wayne.
Oh, yeah, sure you did. Yes, sir, 100%. Yeah, I heard,
Pastor Wayne knew a pastor there. I was working for the airline industries, and he sent me as a messenger like Timothy.
Yep.
And I fell in love with Jamaica. And I'm 60 years of age and live in Jamaica right now. And I have a Jamaican girlfriend. She's a Christian.
Okay.
And I like, you know, not lost. I say I like Jamaican women, but not lost. I love Jamaican women. And my girlfriend here, she's a Christian. I'm going to let her say hello to the audience. She says no. She wants to keep reading. She's reading Derek Prince. But we love you, Steve, and you sound just like Pastor Wayne. No joke, man. You sound like Pastor Wayne, brother.
I know. God is faithful, though.
God bless, man.
All right. Love y'all. And, again, thank you, everyone, for joining the call. Thank you, Brother John. For joining the call, and until we get together the next time, which will be next week, we can just continue to go and do what God has empowered us to do. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord be gracious unto you and lift up the countenance of his face upon you and give you his shalom. Until the next time, be blessed.
Amen. God bless.